Now, a man in an army uniform paces outside a motel. Titles: Aidan Quinn as Joe, Marcia Gay Harden as Angela, See You in My Dreams, Will Estes, Jacinda Barrett, with Cheech Marin as Esteban. Music by Ernest Troost, edited by Scott J. Kelly, production designer Mark Hoffling, director of photography Gordon C. Lonsdale. Now the soldier checks his watch. He spots approaching headlights, waves, and directs the vehicle into the lot. More titles: co-producer Tom Kagef, co-executive producer Jeff Melnick, producer Gerald T. Olson, teleplay H. Hayden Yellen, based upon stories from Cruising Paradise and Motel Chronicles by Sam Shepard, directed by Graham Clifford. As the mid-40s coupe parks, the soldier opens the door and a woman with a gardenia in her shoulder-length dark hair gets out and kisses him. She spins around, twirling the skirt of her dress. Later, she carries a baby into a softly lit motel room. The soldier kisses her again.
Oh, Joe. Roses. They're so pretty.
She smells the flowers and lies the baby on the bed. Joe removes a drawer from the room's bureau, sets it on the bed, and puts blankets and a pillow in it. He kisses the woman again, and she places the infant into the drawer. This film has been described by the Media Access Group at WGBH with funding from CBS. Described by Dutch Priest, Paula Broussard, Stacey Perlman, and Justin Soule. Read by Gailey Heidemann. Together, the couple gently places the baby's drawer on the floor beside the bed. Joe turns a knob on the radio's dial, then faces the woman. As the woman faces Joe on the bed, she tosses back her long, wavy hair. Joe gazes into her eyes.
Hello, mister.
Angela moves closer. She shuts her eyes. They kiss passionately. They tumble slowly onto the bed. Now the radio's clock reads 3:20. Angela places the gardenia from her hair on the radio.
Close the door! Close it!
Angela caresses Joe's arm and he wakes.
Joe. You're dreaming. Dreaming again. It's just another one of your dreams.
Joe scratches his forehead, sleepily toying with his dog tags. Angela shuts her eyes.
Joe. Why don't you dream about me? I'll always be here.
Angela strokes his chest. Joe rolls over, kisses her, and grins.
Why?
Joe peers into her eyes and rubs her hand.
Okay, well, I'd love to dream about you.
He rolls over on his pillow and gazes toward the baby.
Look at that little critter. You got it figured out, huh? Not a care in the world.
Sucking its hand, the baby gazes back. Now, a red sedan drives down a dirt road and up the lane to a small ranch. In the yard, a young boy straddles a hobby horse as he runs along a picket fence.
Yeehaw! Get up!
The boy tosses the stick horse aside and draws toy guns.
Bang! Bang! Don't shoot! Stick up!
In the driver's seat, Angela nudges the stubborn car door open.
Hey, little critter!
Mama, what's the dream?
The boy runs into Angela's arms, and she hoists him up and twirls him around.
Well, what did I bring you? Hmm? Well, were you a good little boy while I was at the grocery store?
I helped Daddy do the lamp.
You said I did a good job.
Well, of course you did. You know why?
No.
No? Because you are the world's most remarkable boy. Give me a kiss.
The boy complies. Angela pats his cheek.
Now, help me bring these groceries into the house.
I'm gonna get a nice little treat that I bought for you.
Where is it?
She covers his eyes.
Where is it? It's right there.
She uncovers
them. Guess what
it is? No. Okay, it's something nice and cool.
They carry grocery bags toward the house.
sweet.
Give me a few more clues.
And red. See what I got?
Inside, Angela shows a popsicle.
Slurs.
Joe enters and points at the boy.
You may well eat your dinner after eating that.
Joe hangs up his cowboy hat.
Boy, I don't know. Spoil that boy.
He washes his hands.
You can't spoil a good little boy like Ben.
That's right. Mama said I'm the world's most remarkable boy.
Oh, and she did she? And you, your mama's favorite fella, ain't you?
Ben nods.
I don't want somebody to try to steal my girl.
Ben aims his popsicle. Joe grins and faces Angela.
Nobody steals your girl, Joe.
Angela nibbles her popsicle.
You know it.
She lifts her lips toward her husband's. As they kiss, Joe hugs her warmly and turns her. Watching from his chair, Ben smiles broadly.
You sure were at the store a long time.
As Joe heads to the sofa, Angela hands him her popsicle.
I ran into Louise.
Yeah?
She wants me to come on over after dinner, if it's okay with you, and help her put up some peaches.
Ben joins
See?
His dad.
There she goes again, trying to slip off somewheres without us.
Oh, yes, I've got this whole great big secret life that you know nothing about.
One arm around Ben, Joe winds up a toy cowboy astride a galloping horse. Smiling with delight, Ben watches the toy cowboy twirl a tin lasso above its head. Now on a desert with scrub brush, a sign reads, Home sites still available. Find your pot of gold at Rainbow Glen. Construction commencing immediately. On a rutted dirt road, Joe drives a rusty pickup to the sign and parks. As he turns off the engine, Ben peers out of the passenger side window at a small building foundation. The ankle-high cement forms a 10-foot square. In one corner, a partially constructed wall is formed from rough cement. Struggling with the pickup doors, Joe and his son get out.
What's your thought on this little piece of desert here, huh? Ooh, think I made a smart deal?
Uh-huh.
They remove a crate, a milk can, and a box.
Two of us just ought to pick up sticks and move on out here. Forget about women altogether.
The crate is filled with bottles.
Why can't Mama come out here with us?
Colored bottles are cemented into the wall.
Because this is our place. You and me. Strictly personal.
What does strictly personal mean?
Private. Stuff nobody else understands.
Joe peers at a soda bottle.
Liza's great knee-high bottle. Remember this?
Liza wanted a chocolate soldier.
Everybody knows they don't have chocolate soldiers at Smitty's.
Liza's a dumb girl.
She's a what?
A dumb girl.
Yeah. We'll see how dumb you think she is in about 10 years' time.
He holds the knee-high bottle and a flat blue one.
Where should we put this? Next to...
He taps the blue bottle.
The milk of magnesia?
Because Liza makes me sick.
Joe lays the bottles on the wall.
And nobody's going to know how to read this except for you and me. Right?
Strictly personal.
That's right. Strictly personal.
Joe puts his straw cowboy hat on Ben's head. His son beams. Nighttime. In a softly lit bedroom, Angela kisses Ben's shoulder as he sleeps. From the doorway, Joe looks on.
Good night, baby.
He's not a baby anymore. Don't call him that.
Angela turns off the light.
He'll always be my baby.
Joe takes Angela in his arms and kisses her.
You're gonna ruin that boy.
No, I'm not. I'm just gonna love him. Love never ruined anybody, Joe. But I'm still trying to teach you that.
She lifts her lips invitingly toward his.
And I'm still trying.
Their lips lock together. Angela glides around Joe as he pulls the door shut. In his bed, Ben rolls over on his back and smiles. Now in the master bedroom.
Did you have fun at Louise's?
We put up...
Oh, this one is always...
14 jars of jam.
Straddling Joe's leg, Angela pulls off his boot.
And Liza just had to model every single new dress that Louise bought for her in Albuquerque.
Louise went all the way to Albuquerque to buy her dresses?
Yeah, well, Lance is buying another hardware store. That'll make 5.
Yeah, well, bully for him.
They start to undress.
Well, Joe, they didn't have to start with nothing like we did. Here, they inherited $10,000.
Yeah, well, we'd have more than this if I'd inherited more than the back of my old man's hand.
Oh, I know that.
I'm not saying anything. I'm just talking.
Joe helps Angela out of her dress.
When that subdivision gets going, I am going to build you.
Joe.
I told you.
I have everything I need. Right here. Right now. Ben is going to be grown and gone before we know it.
She snuggles toward him.
I'm happy now.
They kiss.
Let's enjoy now.
She kisses him tenderly and gently strokes his neck.
Okay.
Joe throws Angela on the bed and flops on top of her. In his bed, Ben listens somberly. Daytime. In a small corral, a teenage Ben tries to catch a running lamb. As a mustached farmhand chases the animal, Joe, sitting on the sidelines, grins.
You only got till Saturday to catch him, son.
I'll get him.
As Ben lunges at the lamb, Angela approaches.
Hey! Hey, guys!
Hey! You come out to watch the rodeo?
Angela carries two cakes.
Well, he's called. Turns out Lance is going to be back from Dallas and time for the dance. They're going to be there after all.
She hands one to Ben.
What did he do?
Say anything about Liza?
Liza? You mean that dumb old girl?
I'll start your good shirt, Ben, and you can wear that new string tie your daddy got you.
Joe knits his brow.
What?
Facing Angela, the farmhand holds his hat.
Pablo, you want a soda pop?
He shakes his head.
I'll get you one.
Angela eyes Joe and smiles coyly.
Better brush up on your teeth, Steph.
I didn't say we were going to the dance.
Yes, we are!
Angela skips toward the house. Now, carnival rides, games, and tents fill a grassy clearing. Teens show lambs for judges.
Looks good. He's holding his head just right. It's good, Ben.
Folks, if I could direct your attention to the 4-H lamb judging contest now taking place in the middle of the fairgrounds. The judges are making their final inspections, and they're about to fit up the ribbons.
He stands perfectly.
A judge inspects Ben's lamb.
Thank you, Ben.
Third place goes to... number 7. Second place to number 14.
Richard, their daddy's made contributions.
Oh, that's not what it's about,
oh,
Joe.
Oh, yeah.
And the blue ribbon. First place.
Ben holds his lamb's head up.
Goes to number 23.
Congratulations.
What?
Ben leads his lamb out of the judging circle.
No,
you stay. We'll meet you where?
Over there at the domestic arts tent with Louise.
Okay.
Joe heads off.
Joe?
He turns.
Tell him he should have won.
In the 4-H barn, Ben sheepishly looks up as he tends to his lamb.
You did a fine job, son.
That's why I lost.
Hey, let me clue you in here. There's a lot of politics involved here. Your contest is with yourself. Not with those guys.
That's all.
All right? You did a fine job. Next year it'll be easier.
I'm not doing this again next year.
Joe unpins Ben's contestant number.
Come on, I know how much you want that blue ribbon. Same as I did. Ben doesn't have dreams. Life isn't worth living. Speaking of a man in his dreams.
He grins.
There's a certain young lady by the name of Liza who I believe has arrived. Come on, buck up, son.
They head off. Now sitting on a display of colorful quilts, a blonde teenage girl toys with her blouse.
Oh, I can't buy it. I can't afford that. It's so expensive, read it. Well, you know, Angela, there is an opening for a waitress down at the cafe. You should go in there and talk to them about it.
Angela waves dismissively.
Joe wouldn't like it. Oh, he'll get used to it, honey. I mean, come on.
The girl wanders off.
How often do you ever get off that sheep ranch? How often do you ever see another human being? Once, twice a week? Liza, honey, come back here. Excuse me. Come back, honey. And Angela, you know that extra money wouldn't hurt.
Oh, I know, Louise. But you know me taking a job like that? It would say to Joe that I don't believe in him anymore.
Well, honey, we've all been there. My Earl is always just about to hit it big. The ponies, the slots, you name it. Meantime, there's not enough money for groceries sometimes. That's no way to live.
Yeah, it's different. Joe doesn't gamble.
Broke's broke, if you ask me.
Liza jumps up.
Hi, Ben.
Hi. Liza, you ain't by any chance going to that dance tonight, are you?
Yeah.
Oh, you are?
Yeah.
Joe glances from Liza to Ben.
Aren't you going to that dance too, son?
Ben shifts shyly.
Mm-hmm. Now, there's a coincidence, huh?
Stop it,
sir. What?
Stop it.
I just thought that's
Joe leads her outside.
I just thought it was a coincidence, that's all.
I like your
tie.
Thanks. My dad got a poem for the show.
Nighttime. In a brightly lit barn, a fiddle player in a cowboy shirt plays alongside a guitarist and bass player. As Ben dances Liza around the room, Joe drinks with two men.
Hardware store down there. Really? Now what you're thinking, Joe? I know exactly what you're thinking. Well, no, gonna expand the Albuquerque store instead. Not ready to expand over state lines anyway.
Stop.
Not this year, right? No.
Hit me first.
Liza takes Ben outside.
You'll see.
They head behind the barn.
Come on, just follow me.
Inside, wives join the drinkers.
You buy every raffle ticket they sold?
You can't win if you don't play.
Poppycock. You can't lose if you don't play.
Hope's just a couple quarters, ain't it, Earl?
Yeah, and I got some land just south of Miami you'd be interested in, Joe.
A man with a thin mustache looks on.
Just your style. You know, like that property I sold you out in the desert? What are you building out there? A church?
You'll be sorry you sold that to me someday. I guarantee you.
Yeah, when pigs fly.
Angela kisses the crown of Joe's head.
You know what? I think we need another round. It's on me.
Hey, how about a bourbon this time?
Me too.
The onlooker approaches.
Looks like you're going to win that color television set tonight, Earl.
Mike.
Better.
Hey, how you doing, Phil?
Fine. I see the exit these dances. I could live without that. I'm getting round okay.
I'll bet. Isn't that why she left you?
Joe.
Angela slaps Joe's shoulder. Phil looks at her.
How would you like to take a turn around the floor with me, Angela?
As Angela meets Phil's gaze, Joe eyes him testily.
Sure. What the hell?
Okay, Phil. Sure, but just one.
Earl's partner pulls him onto the floor, too.
Come on, we're gonna dance. Farewell. Come on,
sweet sugar, that's what helped me out, Joe.
Honey.
Earl hands Joe his bottle. Joe wipes the open bottle top on his shirt and takes a swig. On the floor, Phil twirls Angela gracefully and pulls her in. She grins. Behind the barn, Ben and Liza walk hand in hand past the stable toward bales of hay. At the bar, Lance faces Louise. Joe drinks, gazing at the dancers.
Have you seen Ben and Liza?
She faces the bartender.
Fill it up.
Lance eyes the dancers.
Weren't you supposed to be keeping an eye on her?
Relax. Just take Joe and go look for them. I'm sure they're fine.
I'm sure they are.
Lance and Joe head off. On the floor, Angela gazes into Phil's eyes as he promenades her, then stares at Joe as he exits the barn.
You go that way. I'll go this way.
Joe heads past a man standing beside a car.
Who's winning?
Patterson.
Patterson.
Joe faces a group of men. Joe strolls along the softly lit stable, spots the bales of hay, and leans on the first stall.
Ben?
Ben's head peeks around the bales.
You got Liza with you?
As they emerge, Ben buttons his shirt and Liza adjusts her socks.
Hey!
The teens walk toward Joe.
What's going on here?
Wipe that smile off your face.
You go on in, Liza. Hey, get that hay out of your hair. Two shouldn't be seen going in there together now. Go on in.
Liza glances to Ben, then takes off. Joe faces his son.
You want to marry that girl?
No.
Well, then you got to be careful, son, right? We discussed this?
Ben nods rapidly.
I don't want you ruining your life.
Ben shakes his head.
Go on in.
As Ben heads off, Joe playfully kicks his butt. Inside, Lance wags his finger at his daughter.
What do you think you were doing?
I saw Lance come.
I am coming.
Smiling, Joe enters and glances at the dance floor. His smile fades. Angela slow dances with Phil, her eyes closed. Phil's cheek gently brushes against Angela's hair. Joe folds his arms and leans on a support post. As he stares at the dancing couple, Louise joins him.
Joe. Don't worry about Phil. He may try, but believe me, Angela is not buying.
Angela opens her eyes and spots Joe.
Believe me, I'm not worried.
She pulls away from Phil.
Oh, gotta go. Thank you.
Phil kisses Angela's hand. Louise smiles.
See what I tell you.
Joe fidgets with his eyebrows as Angela swishes her full skirt and sachets over.
Dance with me, Joe.
Much is Phil to dance again.
Dance with you.
Angela lifts her arm toward Joe and sways to the music. Joe twirls her around and pulls her close. As Joe dances his wife onto the floor, he gazes into her eyes, then glances about. Shifting his focus, Joe spots Ben and playfully nudges his shoulder.
Yeah.
Hey,
Ben grins at his parents as they promenade around the floor. In front of the fiddler, Joe twirls Angela. The guitar player smiles. Now at home in bed, Joe wakes with a start.
The house is burning down.
He rubs his head. Angela strokes his shoulder.
You and Ben were gone.
You worry too much about nothing, Joe.
In his room, Ben lies awake.
I'm gonna make things happen.
Yeah.
You better make sure you don't make something happen with that Phil character.
Angela smiles.
Yeah. Uh-huh. What's so funny? That bird dog may fool you, but he doesn't fool me.
You're crazy, Joe. He's just lonely.
Yeah, lonely. I've seen that lonely. He's after you.
Angela gently strokes his arm.
And you knew it.
Joe's gaze lingers on her, and he rolls over. In the other bedroom, Ben stares motionless through the silence. Angela leans over Joe's face, kissing him. He turns and hungrily brings his lips to hers. He runs his hand along her neck, fluffing her hair, then smoothing it. Angela presses closer to Joe, then he turns his face away. She kisses his cheek.
Sometimes I wonder how long a pretty woman like you is going to put up with all this.
Holding Angela's hand, Joe stares past her.
Dust in the bills.
Angela gazes softly, then snuggles close to his ear. Joe gets out of bed.
I need a drink.
Angela watches him walk away and slides over onto his pillow. Daytime. Joe's pickup drives down the lane and parks near the clothesline. In the kitchen, Angela peers out the window, then hurries to the stove. Joe comes in, hangs his straw cowboy hat on the rack, and washes his hands in the sink. Angela eyes him hesitantly, carries a coffee pot to the table, and pours two cups of coffee.
Joe, I want to talk about last night.
Joe glances over his shoulder.
I don't want to hear your Pollyanna. Worrying is a prayer in reverse speech. I heard it.
Joe dries his hand and picks up a stack of unopened envelopes from the counter. He sits at one of the cups and starts to read the mail.
I could get a job as a waitress.
Joe freezes.
Louise said there's an opening at the cafe in town.
Louise? Why would Louise tell you that?
She replaces the coffee on the stove and shrugs.
I've always paid the bills around here, haven't I? And I'll find a way to pay these, too.
It's not just through the bills.
She prepares a plate.
A little extra money wouldn't hurt. Luxuries. And to buy things for Ben.
Joe reads a bank document.
His birthday's coming up.
Well, we certainly do need the money.
He glances up at Angela's smile.
I grant you that.
It'll be fine, Joe. You'll see.
As she serves breakfast, Joe rubs his head.
Ben, your breakfast is ready. You are going to be late for school again.
Ben enters and sits.
Did you hear the news, son?
Joe opens the refrigerator.
Your mom's getting a job.
As Angela sits, Joe brings a beer to the table.
There's actually going to be someone in this household with an honest-to-God paycheck.
Congratulations, Mom.
I don't have the job yet.
You will. You can do anything.
Angela eyes him soberly.
Anything you set your mind to.
As his mother chews her food thoughtfully, Ben finishes his breakfast. Nighttime. Angela wears a blue uniform with white trim. As Ben dries a plate, she puts money in a jar.
Made $5 and 32 cents today in tips.
Joe pours over bills.
That's not counting wages. Pretty good, huh?
Pretty good. That's some real money, huh, Dad?
You have to keep that uniform on when you're at home.
Angela drops her gaze and smooths her uniform. Ben glances at his mother, then at Joe.
How about we go out to the bottle house tomorrow, Dad? Just us.
Joe jots with a pencil.
Yeah.
He stares at a document.
Sounds like a plan, yeah.
Daytime.
See, Lance still doesn't see the potential out here.
Joe drives a stake.
But I do. You know how come nobody's built out here yet? People give up on their dreams before they have a chance to come true. Now, don't let that happen to you, Ben. You hear me?
Yeah. Sure, Dad.
Ben stirs cement.
Hey, you thirsty?
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah, maybe they have no water here.
Yeah, I mean, okay.
Get in the truck. I want to show you something.
Ben reaches for the cement trowel.
Oh, just leave all that stuff there. We'll come back for that.
As Ben runs to the pickup, Joe tosses his hammer into the flatbed. They drive to a roadhouse and park beside cars with flared tail fins.
What do you think?
Nice cars.
They take off their straw cowboy hats and get out.
All right, it's all in how you present yourself.
They walk past a Corvette.
You go in there acting like you don't belong, they're going to sense that right off the bat.
Joe points and Ben tucks in his shirt.
Just act natural and relaxed, like a solid citizen.
They enter down a wood-paneled stairwell to a dining room and bar. Joe catches Ben giving a cocktail waitress a once-over. They sit at the bar and glance toward dinner patrons at tables. A husky bartender wipes his hand with a towel and glances skeptically at Ben.
Howdy. I have a martini straight up with onions and, what are you drinking?
A boy can't be in here.
Well, hang on a second. Let's be civil here.
Look, I don't have to serve anybody.
I'm not saying you do, pal. I'm just trying to show my boy around, all right? This is the place we used to drink when I was back in the service. Can you have one beer?
The bartender eyes the underage youth coolly.
Okay. But only one.
Okay. Thank you. Appreciate that. Hey, you got some peanuts or anything? Pretzels?
The bartender reaches under the bar.
Thank you. Kind sir.
As the bartender places a bowl of snacks in front of Ben, Joe heads to a jukebox, deposits a coin, makes a selection, and lights a cigarette. Ben stares wide-eyed at his father. Smiling approvingly, Joe returns to the bar.
You ready for this?
Joe lifts his martini, Ben his glass of beer.
Here's to you, son.
Ben meets his father's sober gaze. They drink. Joe downs his martini in a long gulp. He eyes his son with a giddy smile.
Yeah, how'd that go down?
Joe grins, then shifts his gaze to a booth where a bearded man sits with each arm around a young woman. One holds a shrimp to the man's lips.
Yeah, what chippies in a shrimp cocktail.
Let me tell you something. Hanging out in a bar in the daytime, that's nobody's dream come true.
Ben gazes at Joe's serious expression.
Your old man, he's gonna do better than that.
And when I do, your mother's not gonna work off the ranch anymore, neither.
Joe puffs on his cigarette.
And you could...
What are you gonna be when you grow up?
Anything I damn well please, right there.
Joe grins briefly.
That's right, son. You're gonna be anything you damn well please.
Facing Joe's stare, Ben shifts his jaw.
Bartender, have another drink here?
Ben drinks quickly.
Don't worry. One's your limit.
Nighttime. They dance out of the roadhouse. Staggering, Joe turns around. Ben points him toward the pickup.
Okay. No?
No.
All
right.
No. Hey, how about I drive, Ben?
What?
Yeah, how about I drive?
How much you drink?
Just beer.
Just one beer?
Honest, Dad. Just one.
Joe digs in his jeans and gives Ben his keys.
You should drive then.
Okay.
Just, you know, try not to hit anything. You know, if there's one thing I can't stand, it's the sight of blood.
Okay.
Especially my own. Okay. Just, you be careful, okay?
All right.
Ben helps Joe roll into the flatbed, then gets behind the wheel.
The mountains are blue like the pine. I am lonely for you. Hey, besides, you be careful. Just technically, your mother wouldn't allow this.
Ben puts the truck in gear. Driving the dark country road, he glances over his shoulder through the window, then peers ahead. Up ahead, headlights weave across the road. A sedan comes into view, lurching from one side of the road to the other and heads straight toward Ben. The pickup careens into a ditch and hits a tree. Joe peers through the rear window.
Sam, how's going on?
He sees Ben slumped over the wheel.
Ben?
son?
He opens the door and pulls Ben off the horn.
Ben! Son!
Blood streaming down his face, Ben opens his eyes.
Yoy?
There's an accident, Dan.
Hang on, let me see. Here, put that.
Joe holds a handkerchief to Ben's forehead.
Your head up.
It doesn't look so bad.
I had an accident, Dan. I'm sorry.
It's okay.
I'm sorry. It was an accident.
Scoot over, sorry.
Joe gets behind the wheel. Later at home, Angela wears a robe as she peers out the window at headlights on the ranch's lane. The pickup parks and she runs outside as Joe opens the vehicle's door.
Where have you been?
Ben gets out. Joe shambles out of the pickup.
Ben? What happened?
Got a little scratch.
Are you all right?
It's just a bone. It's fine.
What happened?
Nothing. I was driving. It wasn't bad.
Joe, what happened? What's going on?
Nothing. I just had an accident.
I let him drive.
You been drinking?
No.
Angela shakes her fist at Joe.
Quit you!
She waves Ben away.
Get inside.
Ben complies. Angela punches Joe.
Get inside.
Angela follows Ben toward the door, then turns.
You could have both been killed!
As Angela ushers her son inside, Joe leans on the fender, then slouches to the passenger side door. He braces himself wearily against the pickup and glances sheepishly over his shoulder toward the house. Daytime. Above the desert, a sun hangs low below heavy clouds, casting orange light above a horizon of blue mountains. On the family's yard, Pablo mows the lawn. As he pushes the implement back and forth, he peers furtively toward the pickup in the drive, and Angela kneeling on the grass planting flowers. She wipes her brow and gives the hired hand a wary glance. Joe exits, holding a coffee cup in his hand.
Angie. Sorry.
Angela glares at Joe from the flower bed.
I'm a loser. And I'm a drunk.
Oh, shut up, Joe.
Just like my father.
You don't have to be like your father. And not our son. I won't let it happen. I am not.
She glances over at Pablo, who watches as he mows the lawn.
Going to let our son be like your father.
Acorn didn't fall far from the tree with me, did it?
That is not true. Your brother Buzz isn't like that. And you don't have to be. You did a stupid, stupid, irresponsible thing, Joe. But it doesn't make you a bad man. It doesn't make you like your father.
I don't want him to be like me.
He admires you.
That's the problem, isn't it?
Change. We can change it. You don't have to be like your father. Our son. He is going to grow up to be a good man. And a responsible man. And a man who loves and is loved. Now you owe him an apology, Joe. You let him down.
Her eyes brimming with tears, Angela throws down her gardening tool and walks off. She sits on a log, then buries her face in her hands. Joe watches, sheepishly averting his gaze. Now in a corral, Ben tightens a pipe nut with a wrench. Joe saunters up behind him and leans on a fence post.
How's your head?
Fine.
Joe watches Ben as he works.
Sorry about last night.
Don't worry about it, Dad. Just slipped up, so...
See who the adult is around here.
No, it's not that. I just understand.
What's there to understand? I could have gotten us both killed.
I think Mom's making too big a deal out of it.
Well, maybe you shouldn't be so quick to judge your mother. What I did was stupid and dangerous, all right?
What, are you kidding, Dad? You got us out of that ditch and home safe. You're still loaded. If I'm lucky, I hope to be half the man you are.
Joe helps Ben mount a water tank.
Ben, I'm not much of a pattern to cut your cloth by, all right? I want better for you.
What's better than this?
Ben smiles at his father, who drops his gaze pensively. Now at the bottle house, sunlight shines through colored glass of various shapes and sizes in the wall. Joe takes a swig of whiskey as he stares at the vast green plain. Ben carries over more bottles.
You ever go to church, Dad?
Church?
Joe pockets his bottle and points to the landscape.
This here. This is church. Certain songs, like Moonlight in Vermont and Georgia, that's church to me. And poetry. Hard stuff, not that angel flake you read in the paper when somebody dies. Like Lorca, a Spaniard. Does the Spanish understand things? Hand me that green one.
Ben gives him a wide-bellied bottle.
Here I want to see those men of hard voice. Those men that break horses and dominate rivers. Those men of sonorous skeleton who sing with a mouthful of sun and flint. Here I want to see them before the stone. Before this body with broken reins. I want to know from them the way out.
As Ben stares thoughtfully, Joe takes out the whiskey bottle.
Yeah. Gotten us a job haying.
Haying? That's hard work, Dad.
Yeah, well, we got no payment due, don't we? Beggars can't be choosers. Anyway, we're going to be working for this impressive man that, I have a little business proposition for.
What kind of business proposition?
I'll tell you about it tomorrow. We're being picked up by Dwayne McPhail at 0530.
5:30?
Yeah, you better finish your chores before then. So you're going to be up at 0330.
Early, Dad.
Now, as the truck drives slowly across a field, Ben uses hooks to position a hay bale on its flatbed. A brawny farmhand and Joe each toss another bale onto the bed, and Ben moves them into a neat stack. Later, as the truck arrives at the end of the field, the truck bed is nearly full. Joe lugs one last hay bale up onto the bed.
George, that's it. I don't know about anybody else, but I'm about ready for a break.
I can't believe we're doing this for 3 days. My shoulders are about out of their sockets.
As Joe catches shade under the truck, Ben hops down. The brawny man kneels down and drinks from a canteen.
Is that him, Joe?
What?
In the distance, he spots a man on horseback.
It's gotta be him. He's gonna fire us for loafing.
Joe stays on the ground.
Dwayne! We earned a break. A man like him understands that. Sit down, son.
Dwayne stumbles over to the truck with a bale and throws it on top of the others.
Will you stop fussing like an old hand?
Come on, Joe.
Don't look at him.
Joe smokes a cigarette.
Pretend he's not even there.
He shifts his eyes and watches the boss turn around.
Key to my future. I'm not gonna let him see me run scared.
The boss rides away.
And now, for this evening's episode of Showdown.
At home, Angela washes dishes. As she turns to the door, Phil enters. She gazes at the visitor and grins.
You said they'd be gone.
Well, I did.
Phil presents a colorful bouquet of flowers.
It's corny, I know. But I wanted to bring you something.
Angela presses her lips together and takes the flowers with a smile. She draws them close and sniffs the blossoms. Now, as Joe gets out of Dwayne's car, Ben rests against a seat. Dwayne leans back and sighs. As Ben watches, Joe heads up a walkway to a white ranch house. A bald, mustached man opens the door.
Howdy. You been fucking cave? Listen, I was wondering, I wrote you a letter last week, you know. I have a lot of experience in breeding horses, but I thought I'd be real good at the job, and he gave me an opportunity, I sure.
I'm okay.
The boss pays him and closes the door. In the car, Ben eyes his father. As Joe walks back to the car, Dwayne lowers his gaze, then starts the ignition.
He's got to think it over. He's going to get back to me.
See, Dad, I knew it. Couldn't say no once he met you.
Joe's eyes shift as they drive off, now at the house.
Hey, Dr. Carlos.
Ben, why aren't you going to bed, honey? You're bush.
Hugging a pillow, he sits up.
Barely stand up.
Ben leans on a chair and kisses his mother.
you ask him, Joe, the rancher?
Yeah.
What'd he say?
No dice. Just shut the door in my face.
Joe heads outside with a trash pail. The tired rancher walks around the back of the house and approaches larger garbage cans. Joe pulls out a bag from the pail, then peers into a can. Dropping the bag, he reaches into the can and pulls out the bouquet. Joe furrows his brow. Daytime. Outside the house, Angela sets a picnic table.
Thought you were bringing a date, Phil.
Joe eyes him.
Her mother got sick.
Joe turns to the grill.
Joe, you ready for another?
Yeah.
Bring me a burger this time, will you?
As Ben exits the house with Liza, Angela mingles with Doris and Louise. Phil watches her and smiles.
Come on,
Ben. The sheep.
I don't want to go see the sheep.
Oh, come on, look how cute.
As Liza tugs at Ben, he looks at his father, who shakes his head.
Fine. Ben, you're no fun.
He shrugs.
You know, Joe, I've been thinking about investing in a sheep farm. Maybe yours.
Hi, Pablo.
Is that right? Yeah.
Liza heads off with Pablo and the sheep.
Is that your idea?
Of course it is.
Angela dances.
You sure that's not Angela?
No, it's mine.
Look, Lance, thank you, but I don't need your help. Okay?
You've been so busy, I've hardly had a chance more than to say hello to you.
You know, there's a song that's been playing on the radio.
Joe glares at Phil and Angela. Later, as the group sits around the table, Angela and Doris clear the empty plates. As the women head inside, Liza runs toward the group, wringing her hands.
Told you my luck was going to turn. That's how luck is. Sometimes she's with you, and turns right against you.
Liza? Honey? What's
that? Louise rushes to her daughter.
Hold on. I don't know. Something scared her. What happened?
Angela and Louise help Liza inside.
Joe, you do something about that hired man, or I will.
Joe turns to Earl.
What happened? Something about Liza and the hired man.
As Earl walks away, Joe heads down the path toward the barn, then follows his father. Outside the barn, Pablo heads to a pickup truck with a crate of belongings.
Pablo!
The hired hand looks toward his employer, then loads the crate in the bed of the truck. He heads around the vehicle and gets in behind the wheel. As Pablo closes the car door, Joe opens the passenger side. Down by the corral, Ben watches his father with Pablo and turns away. Now the teenager runs back to the smoking grill outside his house. Earl and Doris exit.
We're sorry we gotta rush off like this. Doris.
As they walk off with Angela, Ben removes charred steaks from the grill. He glances back at an open window.
You were too young to dress like me. Do you understand? Now untie that shirt. You're not going back out there like that.
Ben lowers his gaze.
Come on, darling.
Earl drives off.
Doris.
Angela waves, then turns back. Scowling, Lance exits the house with his wife and daughter. He storms past Angela.
Be careful.
They step over a log and head to a red Chevy.
I'll talk to you tomorrow.
Just get in the car, please.
I can't tell you how.
Angela knocks on the windshield.
How sorry I am.
She backs away, wiping her hands on her apron. As Angela shields her eyes from the sun with her hand, Lance backs up the car. Angela lifts her other hand high and waves. The Chevy heads down the dirt road. Squinting, Angela watches her friends leave. Under the bright sky, she closes her eyes, drops her arms to her sides, and leans her head back. Now, Angela unties her apron and heads toward the picnic table. As Phil waits in the yard, Ben sits on the stoop of the house. Angela grips her apron and gazes longingly at Phil. She shifts her gaze to Ben, then proceeds forward. As her son watches, Angela heads toward Phil, smiling. She sets her apron down on the picnic table, then turns to Ben. Her son shifts his eyes, then heads solemnly into the house. She holds a hand to her chest, then turns back to Phil. Angela squints, grins, and draws closer. Their eyes lock, and Phil steps forward. As her grin widens, Angela suddenly turns back. Pablo's pickup truck heads down the road toward the yard. Sitting in the passenger seat, Joe watches his wife rush away from Phil. Now Angela enters the house and paces nervously back and forth. Ben stands near the window. His mother starts to tremble.
Ben, get away from the window.
Why?
Just do it!
Ben looks out the window. As Pablo's truck pulls away, a cloud of dust settles near Joe. He glares in Phil's direction, then heads forward. Passing the picnic table, Joe strides purposely toward Phil.
Hey, Phil.
Hey.
Joe punches Phil in the face, knocking him to the ground. Inside, Ben ducks from the window. His father kicks the man, then heads toward the house. Phil rolls over, holding his face. As Ben steps away from the window, Joe twists the nozzle, turning on the sprinklers. The spinning device spurts out water over Phil. Joe enters and storms past his son. In the bedroom, Angela nervously faces her husband. Joe slams the door shut and glares at her.
Why did you turn around when you saw the truck coming like that?
Because I knew what you'd think, Joe. You're wrong! No,
he grabs her.
You're wrong! Nothing happened.
Yeah? What about the flowers that I found in the garbage?
What about them? I threw them away. He gave them to me, but I threw them away.
Ben bursts in.
What? What do you want?
I want you to stop fighting.
Joe squeezes Angela's wrists.
I knew this would happen. You can pick your boyfriend's teeth up off the lawn.
Nothing happened.
As Joe walks out, Angela tearfully rubs her wrists and sits down. She gazes at her son. As she looks toward the window, Ben leans against the door. Nighttime at the ranch. With the headlights still on, Joe stumbles out of his pickup truck. He staggers across the field to the corral, opens it, and latches the door open. Woo! Clapping, the drunk rancher approaches the sheep. In the distance, Angela runs out of the house. In his bedroom, Ben's eyes flutter open. The teenager sits up, then walks over to the window. Outside, the sheep run wildly out of the corral. Now outside. As Angela races toward him in her nightgown, Ben runs out of the house. She weaves past the escaping sheep and grabs onto her husband. Joe grabs a wood post at the base of the water tank and pushes the entire structure down. As water splashes, Joe grabs Angela by the wrists.
I didn't do it!
You have him inside.
Ben shoves his father off of her.
Joe, don't.
Joe shoves his son.
Pamby?
Stop it, Joe.
You mama's boy.
Ben charges at his father.
Both of you, stop it. Ben. Ben, go inside. It's gonna be all right. Go on inside.
Ben turns around. Joe kicks him down and straddles his son. As Ben struggles, his father pins him down and presses against his throat.
Lay your hands on me.
Don't!
I'll kill you, Barry!
Get off him!
Angela grabs Joe from behind.
Get out of here!
I want you to leave! I want you to leave this house and don't you ever come back, and that goes for you too!
As Ben lunges at his father, Angela separates them.
Stop it!
You better not be here when I wake up! Not a one of you!
Don't listen to me! Don't listen to him, Ben. He don't know what he's talking about. He's just scared.
You cut the apron strings.
Cut the umbilical cord. First, then it won't happen.
But when's it gonna happen again? The next time he's scared? Yeah, he's just scared and drunk.
I'm gonna tell you about how you were a mistake. Yeah. You're not even supposed to be here.
Don't know what he's saying, okay? Just don't take it so hard. You're just liking that
one. I'm not like you. I'll never be like you.
Okay, stop.
She hugs her son.
You just take everything so much to heart. Don't take it to heart. When you come inside, and everything's gonna be fine in the morning, he won't remember a word he said, okay?
Okay, I gotta get the sheep.
We can get the sheep tomorrow morning, Ben.
No, I can't.
Ben, Everything's going to be fine tomorrow.
Angela heads to the house.
I'll remember it tomorrow.
I love you, Mom.
She looks back and waves. With a soft gaze, Ben watches his mother solemnly.
I love you.
Morning. A brilliant orange sky silhouettes mountains on the horizon. Now wearing a straw cowboy hat, Ben walks past the white picket fence of his house. With a large duffel bag resting on his back, the teenager strides down the dirt road. As Ben heads away from his house, Joe wakes suddenly in his bed. Squinting, he blocks the sunlight with a raised hand, then rubs his head. He gets up and walks into the hallway, then turns back toward Ben's room. Inside, Angela sits on the edge of the empty bed and extends a letter to Joe. He takes the paper and sits down.
Well, you got what you wanted. Are you happy now? You find him and bring him home.
As Angela cries with her back to her husband, Joe rubs his head. He sets down the letter.
You can't have gotten far.
Joe leaves. Later, Angela approaches the window and watches her husband drive away. Now at a bus station, Joe uses a payphone.
Any sign of him?
Joe's gaze drops.
Angie, I know. Can we talk about that when I get home, all right? I'm not out of place to look yet.
He hangs up, then approaches a Greyhound bus. As it departs from the station, Joe peers through the tinted windows. Now, under a bright blue sky, Joe drives his old pickup down a rutted dirt road. As the dust clouds around his vehicle, Joe approaches the bottle house. The unfinished structure stands empty. Joe looks out the window and stops the truck. Facing forward, he sinks his head and takes the keys out of the ignition. Joe flicks his hat off and rests his head against his palms. Removing his sunglasses, he gazes tearfully out the window. Nighttime, Ben sits in a security booth.
Dear Mom and Dad, me and Michelle did some calf roping at the rodeo last weekend, and I'll be damned if she didn't put in a faster time than me.
At the ranch.
Well, at least this time you found Mom with some practical skills.
I met her at this class I'm taking to finish my GED, so I can get a better job than security guard. One of the guys I work with fell asleep in a guard shack the other night and got frostbite on two toes.
Frostbite? Hell, wear another pair of socks with him, don't you?
He's only 19. There ought to be a law against it. Children working without any...
She's not a child.
Joe flips to another page of the letter.
Are you done?
He glares at Angela. As she extends her hand, Joe puts the letter in an envelope and sets it on the dresser. Angela gets out of bed and retrieves it. She sits on the bed and opens a shoebox.
It's been 4 years, and I'm still not used to the quiet.
We could have a conversation. Would you like to have a conversation?
Well, I've already read this one. Do you want me to read this one to you again?
She takes out a blue envelope. Sitting in a chair at the end of the bed, Joe averts his eyes. Angela puts down the box, then stares at herself in a mirror. As she lets down her shoulder-length hair, Joe looks out the window.
You know, Joe, I've been thinking.
Angela wipes her eyes.
More and more. The good Lord only gives us one life. And I see this one slipping away.
Joe glares at Angela.
I'm not sure that this is all I want to do with mine.
Tears staining her face, she lies down and turns off the light. As Angela shifts in bed, Joe's lips quiver and he bows his head. Now as the sun rises, Joe's pickup sits outside the diner. He enters and hangs his hat on a coat rack.
Hey, Helen.
Joe?
The usual.
The waitress writes down an order.
Where's Angela?
She quit.
He turns his head.
What do you mean she quit? When?
yesterday. Didn't she tell you?
Helen walks off, twirling a pin. Joe shifts in his seat, then cocks his head.
No, she didn't.
He turns from the counter and gets up. Now at home, Joe opens a closet, revealing empty hangers. He closes the door, heads to the dresser, and opens an empty drawer. Now he uses the phone.
Well, she just didn't show up for her waitress job. That's all, and I'm just a little bit worried. Yeah. No, we're fine. It's just, she did...
Joe shifts his gaze.
Oh, hang on a second here.
He looks outside.
Oh, here she is.
As the red sedan pulls up to the house, Joe heads outside. He walks down the steps, gives a slight smile, and shakes his head. Angela steps out of the car in a green dress. Leaving the door ajar, she slowly paces toward the fence.
I got as far as the gas station. I couldn't leave without saying goodbye.
As she rests her hands on the posts, Joe knits his brow. She gives him a warm smile.
All right, you. And I'll let Ben know where I am.
Joe shifts his eyes and lowers his head.
I never wanted a sheep farm, Joe.
He gazes at Angela.
But I always wanted you. For years.
Crying, she turns back to the car and wipes her face. Joe watches and shakes his head.
Why now?
Why not? The impossible is happening, Joe. I'm leaving you.
She licks her lips.
Good luck.
Angela smiles, wipes away more tears, and gets in the car. Frowning, Joe stands agape.
Angie.
As tears well in his eyes, Joe walks toward the car. Angela backs out of the driveway and heads down the dirt road. Joe walks to the edge of the driveway and watches as the sedan grows smaller in the distance. Now at the ranch, the pickup's rusted grill lies on the grass. Waist-high weeds grow around the picnic table. Wearing dirty clothing, Joe chugs a beer as a white sedan heads down the road. An unshaven man squints his eyes.
Hey, Joe. Who's that?
The car turns down the driveway.
Probably someone I owe money to.
Joe sets down his bottle. As the sedan comes to a stop, Ben puts it in park. A young brunette girl sits beside him.
Okay, let's go.
No, you go first. Don't wait. It'll be fine. Just remember he loves you and you love him, whether you admit it or not.
She kisses him.
Go.
As she smiles, Ben gazes at her, then gets out of the car. Taking a deep breath, he puts on a straw hat. Ben closes the door, then looks toward the overgrown lawn and unkempt house. The unshaven man stares at the approaching young man.
Válgame Dios, Joe. Is that your boy?
As the man rises, Joe squints his eyes. Ben walks toward him and waves. Joe hides the bottle behind a chair. His son walks across the field and steps onto the dirt path. Joe glares at him.
6 years.
Dad? How you doing?
There's a girl in that car.
Ben glances back to the sedan.
She must be the one.
She is. Angry.
Esteban, You hear that?
The unshaven man nods.
Your father-in-law. Well, can she walk or what?
Yeah, she can walk.
Well?
She, just wanted to give us a chance.
Chance? Chance for what?
Ben's eyes shift.
Chance to talk. Because the way that I left. I wasn't going to wait around to see when you were going to throw me out again, Dad.
Joe eyes him.
You broke your mother's heart.
Ben turns his head away.
Can she get out now? Or is she afraid of me, too?
She's not afraid of anything.
As Joe draws closer, Ben faces his father.
Well, bully for her.
Ben drops his gaze and Joe heads toward the car.
She wants to meet you.
Esteban makes the best damn coffee in the world right here. Esteban? Ben,
And
Gustav.
Yes.
Would you wish to... I'll go put some coffee on now, okay?
Good idea. Yeah.
As Stefan hurries into the house, Ben glances back at the barn.
What?
Ranch.
Yeah. You left.
Ben nods.
And your mother left.
As Ingrid gets out, Joe tips his worn hat and smiles.
Hi.
Come on in.
In the kitchen.
I apologize for the mess, sir.
It's fine.
Senora?
Oh, thank you.
Esteban pours a cup of coffee.
Con leche?
Please. Thanks.
Joe's hand trembles as he holds a cigarette.
They're going to set me off the ranch next month.
Ben leans forward.
What?
The bank. It's going to foreclose. I missed 10 too many payments.
That'll do it every time.
No more free rides for you, pal.
Esteban nods.
Dad, I'm sorry. Isn't there something that we can do?
Unless you got inheritance I don't know about. Speaking of which,
I'm trying to clean the place out before I get kicked out. I came across some of your things.
He places the box on the table and digs through it.
My brother Buzz got him these. I think he wore them for 3 weeks straight to bed and everything.
Joe displays toy guns. Ben grins and approaches the table. His father pulls out the cowboy wind-up toy. As Ben takes a seat, Joe gazes softly at the toy and winds it.
I got him this.
The lasso spins around.
Maybe that still works.
Grinning, Joe turns to Ben.
Remember this?
He solemnly passes the toy to his son.
Anyway, his mother saved all this. I thought maybe you'd want
it. Thanks. We'll take it home.
Ingrid takes the box. Ben looks to her, then shifts his eyes and swallows. He extends his straw hat to his father.
Dad, looks like you could use even one of these, huh?
One I got is fine, son.
Take it. Please?
Joe glances at Ben, then takes the hat and puts it on. Esteban watches his friend and nods.
This?
Ben gives a slight smile. Joe's eyes fix on the table.
She left because you left. That's what happened.
That's not what happened, Dad. That was years later.
That's how long it took. You were the reason it happened.
Ben looks down.
And what have I got to show for all that? A straw hat.
I only came here because Ingrid wanted me to.
Well, nobody asked you to.
Ben!
As Ben storms out, Esteban glares at Joe, who heads outside to the yard. Ingrid watches teary-eyed, then glances at Esteban. In the yard, Joe paces through the tall grass, drinking from a bottle. As he sits down at a picnic table and furrows his brow, Ingrid walks out of the house and approaches the sulking father.
Joe, sorry we upset you.
He shifts his eyes.
But I want to know you. I know how hard it is to be alone.
You're hardly old enough to know how hard it is to be alone, Missy.
My parents died when I was 11. I was alone until I met Ben.
Joe turns around and squints at the young girl.
I believe Ben's a lucky man.
I wanted you to think so.
She takes a seat across from Joe.
But ultimately, I think I'm the lucky one. I know how much Ben loves me.
As much as you love him?
She nods.
I think so.
Well, that must be wonderful. You think he can stick with it?
He glances at Ingrid.
But till death do you part?
Yeah.
Because his mother couldn't do it.
Ingrid stares at the ragged man and drops her gaze.
Well, he's a damn fool if he doesn't.
Ingrid smiles bashfully.
How tall are you?
Taller than Ben, but don't tell him that.
Later, Ben's car heads down the winding driveway, kicking up dust. Joe and Esteban stroll behind, watching it go.
He's a nice boy, Joe. I can see why you talk about him so much.
Haven't you got a shed to clean out?
Yeah.
As Esteban walks off, Joe stands crookedly, holding his thumbs in the pockets of his jeans. Watching his son's car recede into the distance, he removes his hat. He fingers the straw crown, then rubs the smooth leather lining. As he puts the hat back on, his eyes well with tears. Now Ben and Ingrid climb out of their parked car near a speeding train. Angela appears in the window of a red brick house. She hurries to a screen door.
Ben! Hi! Sonia!
I never thought you'd get here. Oh, my boy.
She gives him a kiss and a hug.
Not such a boy anymore, huh? Let me meet her.
They approach Ingrid.
Hi.
Hey, nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you, Ingrid. I'm Angela, Ben's mom. Come here and give me a hug.
Later, Ben covers a picture in a photo album.
What's this?
It shows him as a teen.
Oh, that's a nice handsome shot. That's all the photos there.
Angela puts away the album.
I'm kind of beat. I might head on into bed late. You guys catch up for a while.
Ben and Ingrid kiss.
Sweet dream.
Ingrid reaches for a teacup.
No, I'll get that. Okay.
Night. She leaves.
And don't forget, her room is on the left and yours is on the right.
Angela playfully whacks her son with the back of her hand.
They're setting Dad off the ranch.
Well, that's unfortunate, Ben.
I can't believe he's still angry with me.
Oh, honey, he's not angry with you. He's mad at the world. All your dad ever wanted was for your life to be better than his.
It is.
Well, then, we're all happy.
She flashes a smile. As Ben gets up, her expression sobers. The young man fidgets uncomfortably.
Did you leaving him have anything to do with me?
Oh, Ben. Of course not. Your father could never have anything that he loved without pushing it away. I left after you did. Not because you did.
I wish he knew that.
Angela touches his face affectionately, then runs her hand down to his shirt.
Do you remember how when you were little, I used to button a note right here to your shirt so you wouldn't lose it on your way to school?
I'm worried too much.
Well, I'm still worried about you. You've got a long drive ahead of you tomorrow.
Now Esteban and a long-bearded Joe sit outside an apartment building.
Letters from Ben. Stubborn mule, set money again.
He's a generous son, Joe. You should be happy. You should accept it. Who you tell me what I can and should and shouldn't do with my own damn son? Yeah, nobody. Just your friend. But he's a good boy with a good job, and if it gives him pleasure to give you money, then you should take it.
He does it because he's guilty for running off. He's trying to buy peace of mind, is all.
It'll hurt his feelings if you send it back. I'm not going to let him off that easy.
Esteban wags his head dismissively, then takes a drag on a cigarette. Holding his own smoke, Joe sways on a rocking chair. He eyes his friend.
Hey. What do you say we go to town?
Wearing a black cap, Esteban looks away from him.
I got soup. I made black bean soup.
Hey, you and your black bean soup. I got your black bean soup coming out of my ears. I need liquor.
Joe's cigarette-wielding hand trembles.
I gotta make a whiskey then. Come on.
He puts on his straw cowboy hat and gets up.
Come on.
He pulls a step onto his feet.
Okay, I'll buy you chocolate.
In a liquor store, a TV set shows Robert Kennedy.
I think we have to have a new philosophy. Jefferson once said about the United States that we were the last best hope of mankind. That's what I want the United States to be. This is a generous and compassionate country.
Joe swigs a drink.
I'm loose, amigo.
As Esteban brings a soda to the register, Joe slips a candy bar in his pocket.
Hey, give me another nickel for that candy bar.
What candy bar?
Okay, that's the last time you rip me off.
He dials a phone.
Hey, what the police?
It's okay. What do you think you're doing? Over a lousy candy bar.
Need the police over here now. I've got a shoplifter.
Wait, you bucking for a promotion, pal?
Come on.
I'm a veteran.
I was a captain.
It's okay. Come on, Joe.
In the U.S. Army. Hey, I went to war for this country, and I'm hungry, and I can't eat a lousy candy bar. Is that the deal, huh? Well, we'll see about that, pal.
Standing across the counter from the clerk, Joe bites into the candy bar.
One time?
Leaning in close, he conspicuously devours the last of the chocolate. The clerk slaps him.
Joe, come on.
Esteban pulls his friend away. Nighttime. At a tree-lined road, a vehicle's headlights flare as it turns onto the shoulder. Ben pulls his car into a grassy ditch and parks. He shuts off his headlights. He climbs out and crosses the street to a sheriff's station. As Esteban sees him through a window, he opens the front door.
Hey, Ben. I'm sorry, I would have built him out, you know, but I don't got that kind of money.
I understand, Stan.
In back.
They're bailing out the shoplifter.
The deputy grabs a key and heads into the jail.
Hey.
He opens Joe's cell, waking the bearded prisoner.
Your son posted bail.
Your son?
Yeah, your son posted bail. He must be real proud.
Come on. Come
on. He helps Joe to his feet.
Come on.
Hey.
Staggering out to the hall, he grips the bars of the cell door for support. He looks around, wild-eyed.
This way. Hold it. This way.
The deputy escorts him to the reception area. Ben and Esteban rise from a leather couch as they see him. Joe glares at his friend.
What'd you call him?
Would you rather spend a week in jail? I'm glad that he called me.
Wearing bandages on one hand, Joe signs a property release envelope. He puts on his straw cowboy hat.
One expensive candy bar.
Yeah.
As Esteban puts his hand on his friend's back, Joe shrugs him off. Outside, a train speeds down tracks. Esteban leads Joe to Ben's car.
Come on, I'll take you home.
Get
in.
Kitchen cup
room.
Joe, come on.
I don't have a home.
Come on.
I need a drink.
I can't believe this.
Joe walks off along the ditch.
I'm gonna go home early tonight, I think.
Esteban puts on his black ball cap and leaves. Ben chases after his father.
Dad, I'm just telling you, I wouldn't be in the shape I am today if your mother hadn't left me. You know, once you left, I wasn't enough for her.
Dad, let's go.
I'm just trying to tell you, I wouldn't be in the shape I am today.
Can we go home now?
Yeah, yeah, let's go.
Go?
Yeah, because I want to talk to her. I want to talk to you, Mother.
Yeah, I don't think that's a good idea.
You don't think it's a good idea? Since when did I listen to what you told me what to do?
Never. You know that? Never. Now listen to me. It's not going to change anything, Dad. Do you hear me? Do you hear me? Now, come on. Dad, look at me. Can I take you home now?
Joe doubles over.
Oh, my heart. My heart.
What? Is it your heart?
No.
Is it your... Dad, is it your heart?
Angelo is my heart.
Look,
she is my heart. She was my only heart, son. Screwed it up. She was my heart.
He buries his face in his hands, then watches the silver freight car speed past. He takes off toward the tracks. Ben chases him up a grassy slope. Grabbing his father by the waist, he pulls him to the ground. Joe shoves his son back to the ditch, then keeps running. Ben quickly sets after him. Joe reaches the tracks as the last train car whizzes by. Later, he and his son enter a dark motel room. Ben turns on the lights, drops a key on the table, and puts his hands on his hips.
I still don't know why you won't let me take you home, Ben.
Home. I don't have a home.
Joe peeks inside a cabinet.
No mini bar, Dad.
How do you know?
Ben leans back against a dresser as his father shuts the cabinet doors. Joe sits on a twin bed, holding his hat by the crown. As he reclines, Ben tugs on one of his boots.
Will you leave me alone? Don't you want to go to bed, Dad? Aren't you tired? I'm tired.
I'm not tired.
Later, Ben lifts the cowboy hat off Joe's face as he sleeps. He leaves a note on his father's shirt. The young man straightens. Now he heads outside into the early morning light and gets into his white car alone. Later, in an office.
It's only a 2-hour drive. We could be there before he wakes up.
No, Ben. I can't do it. There's no point.
He's dying, Mom. I think he's trying to die.
He's been dying for a long time.
You can stop it.
Nobody can stop your father from doing what he wants to do.
He still loves you, Mom.
Angela peers out the front window, her hair in a smooth bouffant. On the other side, an etched word reads, insurance.
And I love him, too.
She faces her son.
I do. I do. But I did all that I could do. And it was never enough.
Ben sits near a desk.
I can't do anything more now. It's too late.
She shakes her head.
Good morning, Kirchner Insurance. Can I help you? Yes, 1 minute, please.
Back in the motel room, Joe wakes up. He puts his bandaged hand on his head. As he blinks thoughtfully, the note drops to his lap unnoticed.
Ben?
Joe leans sideways toward the foot of the bed as he peers across the room.
Ben?
Shifting groggily in his seat, he stares blankly around.
You left me again.
He puts on his boots.
Abandonment. It's no picnic, pal.
Now Ben returns to the room and finds it empty. Later, he holds the phone receiver to his ear.
Angry. I'm coming home. I've done all I can. He's gone. I don't even know where he lives.
In town, Joe exits the liquor store and wraps his arm around Esteban, opening up his wallet for his friend to see.
Hey. Look at this. Look here.
So where'd you get that kind of money?
I got a big check from the VA.
Why?
I don't know. Beats the hell out of me.
Dumb it away.
It's another one of my dreams come true, I guess. Here, I stole this for you.
A candy bar.
You know what? You are one filthy mess. We gotta get you cleaned up.
Hey, come on, Joe. You're not good when you get drunk like that. Come on, let's go home, man.
What we need is women.
That's exactly what you need. Yeah.
Hey, Ralph.
Yo. Can you put that money away?
At a bar, Joe plays pool with a chubby woman.
Oh, you almost had it.
No.
They kiss.
I tell you what, I'm looking to do some fishing and camping and drinking, and I got a wallet for the money.
Oh.
What do you say?
Well, I could use another drink, Joe, so I can think about it.
Mm-hmm. Hey, Tree, bring us some more bourbon, will you?
Yeah, right.
And whatever Bob here is drinking, and actually, I tell you what, why don't you just leave the whole dang bottle, because we're going to need provisions.
No way.
The mustached bartender purses his lips.
Hey, you don't think I can pay for this, huh? What's that, pal?
He sets some money on the bar.
Here it is. You keep the change. Esteban, what are you drinking? No. Soda pop? You want a root beer?
The woman stuffs the money in her blouse.
Why don't you have a tequila like a real Mexican? It's going to be mighty dry up there on them mountain streams, pal.
I'm not going to go with you.
Why not?
Because you're a bad drunk. You might kill me, I don't know.
Who ever heard of a teetotal Mexican anyway? Let's get out of here.
Okay.
Come on. You got some kind of a purse or something?
I do. Let's go.
Give me that bottle. That's not yours.
Now standing in a stream, Joe casts a fishing line. On shore, the chubby woman reclines on a beach towel.
Pass me that bottle, woman. I need to warm myself up.
She holds an empty bottle upside down.
You drank it all.
Hey! I didn't drink it all. I told you to leave me some, damn it!
I'm going back to town.
Go ahead. Go on back to town. I don't need you. You women, you're all the same. When the going gets tough, you get going. You disappear.
I'm leaving now because I can't take any more of your big, loud mouth. I'm sick of you.
She storms off. Joe throws his fishing rod aside and reaches down to his pant leg. He pulls out another whiskey bottle. As he chugs, the woman climbs behind the wheel of his pickup truck.
Hey, where are you going?
steal my truck! Come back here!
The pickup disappears behind some trees. Joe holds up his whiskey bottle.
See you, Angela.
Tilting his head back, he guzzles the liquor. He falls into the water and floats. Later, he shambles down the road in the mountains wearing his straw cowboy hat.
On a mountain in Virginia stands a lonesome pine. Just below is the little cabin home of a little girl of mine. Her name is June, and very, very soon she'll belong to me. For I know that she's waiting well beneath that lone pine tree. Oh, June.
He stops and looks skyward.
Like the mountains are blue, I'm blue. Like the pine, I am lonesome for you.
He continues down the road.
In the Blue Ridge Mountains of Virginia,
a car approaches in the distance.
On the trail of a lonesome pine, in the pale moonshine.
Following a bend in the road, Joe disappears behind a patch of trees. The car approaches from the other direction. Joe's cowboy hat tumbles across the wet gravel, then comes to a stop. Now a baby blue 70s model muscle car winds along a curvy mountain road. In front of his and Joe's apartment building, Esteban sits on a ratty flower print couch. He rises as the muscle car pulls up. Ben climbs out and shakes his hand.
You want some coffee? I can make some coffee.
Sure.
Oh, okay.
Have a seat. All right. As Esteban heads through a screen door, Ben watches a couple head into another apartment.
Here you go, Ben.
Thank you, Esteban.
He takes a cup of coffee.
Sorry about the instant coffee. The coffee is really high right now.
Sitting across from each other, they sip their drinks.
I was a drunk, you know. I was very bad. But I quit. And I tried to tell your father. He should quit too, you know. He wouldn't listen. You know how he was. He wouldn't listen to nobody. I just remember all the good, quiet times we had sitting on the couch here, just talking a lot about you, listening to a train in the distance, or just the coyotes. You had a good mind, your father. Muy listo. Very hard to...
He wipes a tear from his cheek.
To make a friend in the world.
He hangs his head.
I'm glad he had you as a friend, Esteban.
The stubbly-faced man rubs his eyes.
I'm very grateful.
He picks up a manila envelope.
The police gave me this. This is the stains.
He hands Ben his father's cowboy hat.
I wore that all the time. He used to tell me all the time that you gave it to me. All the time.
He points with his thumb.
You want to go see his room now?
Running his fingers over his father's hat, Ben nods, now inside an apartment. The door swings open. Decals on the outside read, "Keep out, mad dog." Ben enters the cluttered apartment through a curtain of plastic chain links. On a bulletin board, a lithograph shows a bomber plane. Ben's gaze moves to a blue ribbon attached to a black and white photo of him with his sheep at the lamb judging contest. The ribbon reads, "Blue Ribbon Mufflers." Ben approaches a mirror. Taped to the glass, a handwritten letter hangs below a photo cutout of a dark-haired man wearing a tuxedo. Staring at his own reflection, Ben puts on the battered straw cowboy hat, then quickly takes it back off. His gaze moves down to an unmailed envelope, which he picks up. In sloppy cursive, the address reads, Ben Brown, 2412 Lexington Street, Bischoff, Colorado, 84105. Ben picks up a book entitled Poems of Garcia Lorca. The cover shows the man in the tuxedo from the cutout. Now Ben opens the book to a marked page. Standing outside in a black suit, he reads,
Here I want to see those men of hard voice. Those that break horses and dominate rivers.
Mourners face him.
Those men of sonorous skeleton who sing with a mouth full of sun and flint.
A tombstone reads Joseph F. Brown.
Here I want to see them before the stone. Before this body with broken rings. I want to know from them the way out. But this captain strapped down by death.
Wearing a Mexican suit, Esteban lowers his head sadly. A goateed man with white hair and sunglasses hands the eulogist an American flag folded into a triangle.
Ben.
As Ben walks off, his mother watches from near a tree, smiling sadly. She closes her eyes and tilts her head back. Ben sits beside his wife, who holds a baby in her lap. Ingrid runs her hand over the back of her husband's neck.
Benjamin Brown, on behalf of the United States of America, I proudly present this flag to you. Remembrance of your father's devoted service to his country.
Now sunlight seeps through colored circles of glass in a cement wall. A dark-haired boy approaches the unfinished skeleton of the bottle house. Ben follows him, looking around nostalgically.
I used to come out here with my dad.
A wooden door frame stands inside one partially built wall.
It was our private place.
His son crouches in a shadow, studying one of the walls.
Hey, come here.
Ben squats near an adjoining wall and points to one of the bottles.
You see this blue bottle?
Yeah.
Next to this knee-high bottle?
Yeah.
It's code, see? It's all here if you know how to read it. His life and mine. Cemented together. But you have to know how to read it.
Can we open up the bottles?
Yeah.
He removes an envelope from his back pocket as his son lines up bottles on the shady wall. Taking a seat at one corner of the house's concrete frame, Ben eyes the unmailed letter addressed to him from his father. He reaches into a torn opening in the envelope, pulls out a slip of paper, and unfolds it. The handwritten letter starts, Dear Ben.
You may think this great calamity that happened way back when, this so-called
disaster between me and your mother, you might actually think it had something to do with you. But you're dead wrong. What happened between me and her was strictly personal. Good night, son. See you in my dreams.
Ben swallows hard as he reads the letter. Behind him, his son dusts off several of the myriad bottles embedded in one of the walls. Our view pulls away as the boy heads through the doorframe and stares out at the shrub-filled desert. Red mountains stand low along the horizon. Near the bottle house, Ben's muscle car sits parked on the dirt road, and the housing development sign stands in tattered ruins. A credit appears. Executive producer Randy Robinson. Fade to black.